The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Take care not to perform righteous deeds in order that people may see them. Otherwise, you will have no recompense from your heavenly Father. When you give alms, do not blow a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, to win the praise of others. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your almsgiving may be secret. And your Father who sees in secret will repay you. When you pray, do not be like hypocrites, who love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so others may see them. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go to your inner room, close the door, and pray to your Father in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will repay you. When you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites. They neglect their appearance so that they may appear to others to be fasting. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you may not appear to be fasting, except to your Father who is hidden. And your Father who sees what is hidden will repay you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
When I was in the first grade, I was in Mrs. Smith's class. Mrs. Smith was well known throughout the school for her science experiments that she liked to do with her first graders that they could get involved with, learn about nature, learn about the world around them. The most famous one of all, which all of us were very excited about when we got into her classroom, was getting a small caterpillar, putting it in a glass cage, and watching it become a beautiful butterfly. When you look forward to this, you know, it was kind of a big deal, and as first graders, we were not disappointed. We went out, and our school, our elementary school, it was kind of in the middle of nowhere. It was surrounded on three sides by cornfields. So you went out, and you went to the fence rows that ran along the field, and they were full of milkweed, which is where those caterpillars love to be. So we went out there, and, you know, we're looking through the milkweed, you know, and we finally found a caterpillar, you know, and we collected some of the milkweed to go with it and brought it back inside and put it inside the cage, you know, and it was amazing, you know, to watch it start to build its cocoon, you know, and the chrysalis around it. When it was finally done with that, you know, and it was snugly entrapped inside of its cocoon, one of the girls in our class, her name was Brittany, she was very, very excited about the whole experiment, so much so that every day she would raise her hand and say, "Mrs. Smith, can we please open up the cocoon to see the butterfly inside?" And Mrs. Smith would affirm her and say, "Well, we can't do that now. You know, someday it's going to come out on its own. We're going to see the beautiful monarch butterfly. But right now, if we were to open it up, you know, it wouldn't look very pretty at all right now. You know, it probably wouldn't even survive." But every day, Brittany would still keep up her inquiry, you know, and every day she'd raise her hand and Mrs. Smith would tell her, "No, we can't open up the cocoon before its time is done. It's in the midst of transformation, and it needs every second of that transformation before it can come out as a beautiful butterfly." Well, we got to a day where it was, well, kind of like the weather we've been having here recently. It was thunderstorms and lightning and many, many buckets of rain coming down. And so we were stuck inside. We had indoor recess that day. And when no one was looking, Brittany walked over to the glass cage, and she opened the door up. Thankfully, one of the other students saw her and started yelling out the alarm, you know, "Mrs. Smith, Mrs. Smith, Brittany's opening the glass cage," you know. So Mrs. Smith comes running by, you know, and is able to close the door in time, you know, and the butterfly was saved, you know. No butterflies were harmed in the production of this homily. But Mrs. Smith being the wise woman that she was, is, she didn't get mad at Brittany. Instead, she gathered us all together. She sat down in her old rocking chair that she would sit in when she would tell us stories, and we would all sit around her, you know, Indian style on the floor. And she began to tell us this story about when she was a little girl and how she loved to go out to the fence rows and to check on the milkweed and to see the cocoons and the chrysalis of the butterflies that were going to be coming out. And she couldn't wait to see these butterflies emerge from their cocoons. And when the day finally came, she was out there and she saw many of the cocoons and the butterflies were struggling out of them, you know, and they'd spread their wings and they'd fly off into the field. And she loved that. But there was one cocoon, one butterfly that hadn't quite gotten out yet. And this butterfly, she watched intently as it was struggling against the cocoon, trying to free itself from its entrapment, trying to get out enough that it could spread its wings and join its fellow monarch butterflies as they flew across the field. And little Mrs. Smith felt sorry for this caterpillar, this butterfly that was trying and struggling and being challenged by this. And so she ran back to the house and she grabbed her pocket knife and she went back out there and started to cut the cocoon to let the butterfly out, to set it free. What she didn't realize at the time, and what she was trying to teach us, was that that struggle that that butterfly was going through to get out of the cocoon was essential to its survival. It was in the struggle, it trying to get out of the cocoon, that it was flexing its muscles for the first time. It was this moment when it was being challenged and it had to stretch itself, it had to force itself free, and it strengthened it. And by doing that, by going the whole distance, struggling the whole way, its wings would be empowered by that. They would become strong by that. And it was the thing that gave it the ability to fly once it was released from the cocoon. And so when Mrs. Smith cut that cocoon open and the butterfly easily got out of the cocoon, its wings didn't unfold like they were supposed to. It wasn't able to fly. It hadn't struggled as long as it was supposed to get out. And her lesson to us was very clear. Today on Ash Wednesday, we begin the season of Lent. We begin this season where we take a good, hard look at our lives and wonder to ourselves, how can I grow in my relationship with God? What can I do differently this year, this 40 days, that's going to get me that much closer to union with Him? And we do this by these three main ways, by prayer, almsgiving, and fasting. These three means by which, these three pillars by which we grow. And it is hard. It is a struggle. It should be something that challenges us. And if it's not, if we start journeying through Lent and we think to ourselves, well, this is no different from ordinary life, if we start going through these 40 days thinking to ourselves, well, this is pretty easy, then we're doing Lent wrong. Lent is meant to be a struggle. It is meant to be hard. It is meant to be a challenge to us. Not because we have a sadistic God who wants to see us suffer, but a God who wants us to flex our spiritual muscles. He wants us to grow, just like any athlete has to practice and train himself to get better. These 40 days are that for our spiritual lives. And so as we progress forward here in these next few days, as Ash Wednesday takes hold, my challenge to you is to challenge yourself. My challenge to you is to ask yourself the hard questions. What am I going to do this year that really will put an impact in my life? What am I going to change in these 40 days that when Easter comes, I'm going to be a different person? I'm going to be a better Christian. I'm going to be a better father, a better mother, a better son, a better daughter, a better brother, a better sister, a better neighbor. What is it that's going to be different about us in 40 days? And hopefully, if we ask those big questions, we take the challenge to heart, and we struggle through these 40 days, all 40 of them, not giving up, not giving in. When Easter comes, it's going to mean that much more to us. We're going to be that much enthralled by the resurrection. When I was in seminary, I had a buddy who decided to go the full gambit. He decided that for Lent he was going to give up meat for the entire 40 days. No meat at all. He was going to give up sleeping in his bed at night. Instead, he was going to sleep on the floor. And here was the real kicker. He decided he was going to give up hot showers. And so that every morning he had to wake up and take a cold shower before he began the day. And all of us seminarians knew about it, and we were terrible seminarians. And about halfway through Lent, we started making fun of him for it. And we're just like, how's that going for you? You know, you're missing the taste of bacon, you know. And we made fun of him for his showers. But you know, he told us, in the midst of that struggle, in those trials, two things happened. One, he realized just how grateful he was for those great amenities that we often take for granted. To be able to take a hot shower, to take a great sleep in our beds. And two, he found a deeper connection with God. Because by denying himself, by taking this small step to die to self, he was finally open. His heart was finally able to recognize God's presence in a way that he had never experienced before. And he said when Easter morning came, that meat tasted better than it ever had before. That bed was softer than it ever was before. And that shower was more glorious than any he had taken before. And more than that, he understood what it was to have new life. What it was to place his life in the hands of God. And every Lent after that, he did the same thing, knowing that it was deepening him. So let us do the same. May we arise from our cocoons and fly. Amen.